Hello, this is Patrick J. Riley, your host. Before we get started today, I just want you guys to let you guys know that this is actually an older, unreleased episode. Well, sort of. This episode was released, and then I had to take it down because what I found out was the recording I released was actually unedited, and when I tried to find the edited version, I found out that the software I was using at the time did not save it. It kind of disheartened me, and it's kind of the reason why I didn't post for a while, because I wanted to get better at editing these podcast. Today's episode is Sweet Smell of Success. I say that name wrong a bunch. I also, there's a few times where I'm just going to say wrong information, and I will try to go in after the fact and correct myself when I hear it. Please enjoy this episode. It is, for some reason, the unedited version was listened to 150 times, so hopefully you will listen to this, and I apologize for the unedited version. And here we go! I'm a ghost now. Hi, and welcome to Broken Broadway. I'm your host, Patrick J. Riley. With me today, is my brother, Kenny Riley. Kenny, say hi there, Kenny.
Hi, everybody.
Today's musical is super fucking dark, is all I could say. It's one of the darkest shows we've covered so far. When I saw this recently at Lincoln Center, at the library there. By the way, if you want to do any research for anything, go to Lincoln Center Library for dance and film. Oh boy, was that great. This is one of the darkest shows I've ever seen. And it's called The Sweet Smell of Success.
There are signs rising over Times Square that say it all.
JJ!
Flashing his eyes and this way, that way.
He runs the column like a roadshow gangster.
But it's the column you need.
So, what do you know about The Sweet Smell of Success?
It's called The Sweet Smell of Success. I can't even say it right.
Sweet
what
smell
is
of
this?
Success.
I've never
You've
heard
never
of
heard
this.
Of this? Well, Sweet Smell of Success. Man, this is going to be a fun one. It opened March 14th in 2002. It ran for 109 performances and 18 previews. It got rave reviews. But it just did not connect to audiences, and just couldn't sell tickets. It starred Brian D'Arcy James,
ooh, love him,
Kelly O'Hara,
ooh, love
and
her,
John Lithgow in his Tony-winning performance. It closed several days after the 2002 Tonys, after he won.
I know the problem with this. I already forgot the name of the musical.
The Sweet Smell of Success. God,
it's forgettable.
Sweet Smell of Success. It's based on a movie from 1957 starring Tony Roberts, right?
Hi, this is Future Patrick, just here to say I got it wrong. It's not Tony Roberts. Tony Roberts, great actor. Loved him in Annie Hall. I'm talking about Tony Curtis. Tony Curtis.
I should look that up.
Well,
it's
that's
Tony
its
Roberts.
First
yeah.
problem.
Tony Roberts and Burt Lancaster.
Ooh.
Yeah. All it's right. a great movie. It's a great musical. It is a it's intense. The music by Marvin Hamlisch, of course, from A Chorus Line, with lyrics by Craig Carlini, and the book by John Guare, who is without a doubt one of the best playwrights ever to have lived in this world. He wrote 6 Degrees of Separation. I think that's his most famous play. He's written a few. I think this is his first or second.
Hi, Pat again. Future Pat, current Pat to you, I guess. This is his second musical. Of course, his first musical was Two Gentlemen of Verona, which he won the 1971 Tony for Best Book.
Probably his second musical, but he wrote a dark show. The music to this, Marvin Hamlisch, he writes these beautiful melodies, but what I love about his music is in the middle of a piece of melody where it's like, ba-da, like it's very up, 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 up. It will stop.
and almost like it's almost the character subconscious without even without lyrics, it changes the opinion of the piece, and it's really interesting. And I think in A Chorus Line you see it a few times, in like at the ballet, where it becomes very kind of maybe I was 17, maybe I was 17, but everything is beautiful at the ballet, and the character's mood shifts because of the music, because the music doesn't, it's not just there to be pretty, it underscores the character development. And in this show, there's a number, I'm getting ahead of myself.
What's the plot?
What's the plot of the musical? This musical is set in the 50s in New York, and is about a columnist played by John Lithgow. His name's JJ. Everyone wants to go in JJ's column. And there's a guy, Sidney Falcone.
Good name.
Not a good name.
Bad name.
Drop the O. Sidney Falco. Drop the A. Oh, yeah, that's what they call him. But it's played by Brian D'Arcy James. And it's the whole thing is he is a club promoter, essentially. And he's just trying to get John Lithgow's character to put him in the column. Get in JJ's column. Because once you're in JJ's column, everyone wants to go because you're the talk of the town. And he befriends... He befriends JJ because JJ thinks that that Sydney is friends with his younger sister, and he wants him to keep an eye on his younger sister because he saw them together at a party at a bar, so he assumed that they were friends. And from there, it becomes a thing of how far will you go to become successful in what you want to do, and it just gets darker and darker and. John Lithgow's becomes like from an arrogant asshole to a cunning guy to a monstrous tyrant to like a monster. And I'll spoil it when I get to the end of what happens, but the moment where Sidney, played by Brian D'Arcy James, gets accepted by JJ, he has this song called At the Fountain that is six melodies. Because he's, like, so, like, crazed, but, like, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to react to the fact that this is exactly what he wanted. Put together to where it's so frantic. And then there's this beautiful sweeping.
Maybe I'm at the fountain. Maybe I'm at the start. It's time to step up and drink. Think. You don't have to think to be smart.
It's so beautiful, and then it gets really frantic again, then it gets really soft, and you could really see that the character is trying to process all this information, and you as the audience, because the music is shaped so well that you're along with the whole time, you don't know how to feel about this, because this is everything he wants, but at the same time, it's is this good? Is this bad? How is he going to react to this? And this is the song right here, At the Fountain, from Sweet Smell of Success.
Garbo, Brando, Harlow, Monroe, keep the O. Garbo, Brando, Harlow, Monroe, keep the O. Somebody buys a paper at the stand. How do you hold my future in your hand? Fortunes change. People grow now and then, fountains flow. It's like he saw inside of me where I belong, what I could be, and in the flashing of the neon, I could swear.
rest of the score doesn't match how amazing At the Fountain is. What were your impressions of that song?
I was like, all right, this is a great song. To be, like, in the first 30 seconds, this is going to be a good song. And then about at the 3-minute mark, I was just like, oh, we get it. This is perfect.
Yeah.
It's swept me away.
Yeah.
And Brian D'Arcy James' performance in that song is outstanding.
Outstanding. I just looked up because I had to check. He doesn't have a Tony. Isn't this a terrible world we live in where Brian D'Arcy James doesn't have a Tony?
These monsters.
He's so incredible. I love him in so much, but...
Hashtag BDJ for the Tony.
BDJ for the Tony. Yeah, all
right. Right? Brian D'Arcy James?
Yeah. No, yeah.
Know words. Letters. Fuck it.
No, but it's incredible. Also, there's just so much plot and there's so much character in that. And I feel like a musical's most important part of a song in a musical is it has to carry the plot. And this carries it and then some. Because you know so much more about him as a character, and also now the plot has gone forward. I love that. I just love the...
It's like he saw inside of me where I belong, what I could be.
Because that's what the character JJ, John Lithgow's character, is in the show, is this guy who he sees what's going to be the next big thing, and then he promotes it. The show opens up right before this song. It opens up with them walking by a crime scene, and a woman has jumped out the window to her death. And they found out it was a woman that JJ had made fun of in his thing by saying that she was a druggie. And she overdosed and fell out the window. And basically is just kind of unfazed by it. And Sydney's a little taken back. And this is the first time you start to see Sydney being like, oh, maybe he isn't the best guy. And then later on... the whole plot essentially starts to revolve around the fact that Sydney is stuck in this weird sort of love triangle between JJ, his younger sister, and her boyfriend Dallas. JJ's overprotective of his younger sister, so he wants her to not date this musician. This musician doesn't want JJ to help him out because he thinks JJ is a piece of shit asshole, and he doesn't want anything to do with him. Sydney is working for JJ to try to keep his sister away from Susan, his sister Susan, away from this guy, and at the same time trying to get JJ to come around and like Dallas, who is the piano player she's in love with. It backfires, and he orders Sydney to break the guy's hands and tell the police officer to go arrest him. And Sydney doesn't do it. And it's this whole thing. The whole second act is Sydney's moral dilemmas. He goes from being your protagonist to your antagonist with so much. He tries to whore out his girlfriend, who's a loving, patient girlfriend, just so he can get on JJ's good side. And it ends with JJ and Susan... Because the whole thing is JJ is going to cover a coronation in England, or a wedding. I think it's a wedding coronation in England, and is going there for a few months to cover it. And he's going to bring Susan along, but Susan refuses. And they have this big fight at the docks. And that's when...
Oh, hey, it's Future Pat again. Real quick, before you go further, I'm about to spoil the show. If you don't want to know what happens, if you like the music, you want to listen to it, I suggest to listen to the score. The soundtrack is available online. Please listen to it before you continue. If you don't care and you just want to hear it anyway, it doesn't matter, go ahead. If you want to stop right now, thank you for listening to the podcast this week. If you want to continue, you're a fucking trooper. You're the real hero. You are. Not those cowards. All right, enjoy.
You see JJ... become this monster that he's... You see pieces of it throughout the show. And he has this big thing where he just blows up on him. And then... Sydney... You see Sydney being followed by two men. And then it goes to the end of the play.
And the play starts off with him just reading off notes that he's written about, like, here, put this in the column, put this in the column, put this in the column. And his assistant goes, the body of City Falcon was found in the East River. Yeah, put it in the column. He made it in the column. It's all what he always wanted. And then just goes on. And that's how the show ends.
Oh my god.
It is so dark. I was so uncomfortable the whole time watching it. There wasn't a moment during the show where I didn't feel disgusted by the actions of people on stage. Even Susan, his sister, has moments in the show where I'm like, oh my god, what? Oh, be a person. And played by Kelly O'Hara, by the way, wonderfully. And honestly, I think underused. She gets like a song or two where Kelly O'Hara should be able to stand on top of the stage and just be given anything she wants to do. She has moments in the show where I'm just kind of like a little like disgusted by, what a terrible character choice. And it's also such a weird relationship between his sister and him, because he's kind of a father to her, but it's also this kind of creepy uncle vibe. It's real gross about everything, but it's gross in the way where, like, I understand why audiences did not care for this, you know? It's a real hard pill to swallow. But, yeah, I think that's one big problem, is the title is a little... At the Fountain, that's a great song. But I think the other problem is, this is not, like American Psycho, this is not the kind of show a Bridge and Tunnel crowd is going to have fun at. This is not a fun show at all. You know this reminded me of? It's going to be a future episode, but the musical Pipe Dream, which is a Oscar and Hammerstein flop, and they took a John Steinbeck novel about bordellos, and they adapted it, but they kind of, like, cleaned it up for Broadway, and that ruins it. It ruins it. And this did the opposite, where it's almost darker than the movie at points. Because I've seen the movie and I like the movie. I think the show is better. I think it works better as a musical. And also you have Marvin Hamlisch's gorgeous scores. Oh, beautiful music. There's a reason why he has an EGOT, and there's a reason why he has the Oscars and Tonys and everything he deserves. He was an amazing composer. And the performances are amazing, but this show is just so... I watched it a few weeks ago, and it was after I had watched a few shows back-to-back. I watched Parade, Sideshow, this, and then I went and saw the Grand Hotel at City Center. Every one of those shows, I left feeling like I just swallowed nails. It was a dark time, because you have Parade, which of course ends with, you know, the anti-Semitism and the racism of the South.
Of Marietta, Georgia.
Yeah, of winning over, you know,
the old red hills of home.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have Sideshow, which is about the exploitation of women, essentially.
Oh, fantastic.
And then you have this, which is about how far will you go just to be famous and get your name out there and just have people respect you. And that is something I can connect to. And it every time I saw myself reflected on stage, even just for a second, of like, oh, if I was in that situation, I think I probably would do something similar, or I wouldn't do that in my situation. I myself would just be like, oh God, I don't want to look at that. That's too deep, and that's too much of a mirror for me to look at. And Grand Hotel is a beautiful show, but also ends very kind of like, on a happy note, but also because one of the characters gets straight up murdered. You know, it's a very classist show, because it's a show about, you know, Berlin right before World War II, and one of your main characters is a dying Jew, so it's not going to be a laugh riot the whole time. And I just feel like a lot of the shows I've been watching, with flops especially, it's either shows that are too dark and there's no coming back from it. You know, American Psycho, Sideshow. There's not that moment. Even Mac and Mabel from a few weeks ago when we did Mac and Mabel. Mac and Mabel's a show that just ends so depressingly. You know, you kill two of your main characters and your last main character just quits. This, your villain wins,
The antagonist wins. Your protagonist, who finally had a moment of redemption, is fucking murdered. And then Susan's in the wind. The only character that's redeemable in this show, and she gets abused and raped, essentially, is Sydney's girlfriend. She has a beautiful song about how she loves Sydney, and then he uses her. And then she gives him up. And it's so sad. It's a beautiful score, well acted, but I understand why this ran 100 performances and not for years. It was nominated for a bunch of things too. It got nominated for a ton of awards, but the only award it won was for John Lithgow, Best Supporting Actor, which is well deserved. What are your thoughts?
I'm just trying to think of alternate titles.
Oh yeah, what were you, The Columnist? That's a good.
Columnist,
one.
The Fountain,
mm-hmm.
Swimming in the East River.
Uh-huh.
Come on, that's pretty good. Okay. Look at me, I'm John Lithgow.
Yeah.
I'd see that in a heartbeat.
It's called Stories I Know by Heart.
All right. Well, you didn't have to that count me his, down like that. All right.
That was his one man show that just closed.
Give me. Are there like? I just feel like this needed a marketing team.
It needed a better marketing team. I feel like it's a great show, but I feel like what the show is promoted as. If you didn't know the movie, the promotional material for the show was black and white photos, and everyone was kind of wearing suits, and it kind of looked like tabloids, but like kind of like cool Rat Pack stuff, and it kind of gets marketed as like a cool, fun show. There's a bunch of shows I feel like are marketed wrong. You know,
when did this show come out?
2002, okay. Right after 9/11.
Yeah, I could see why this show hit another road bump.
It's post 9/11, and it's not fun.
People are going to the theater to
forget.
Like with the producers.
The producers was hit because it was a fun, silly show, and people could just. It's why I feel Avenue Q beat Wicked, because Wicked's this big spectacle, but after 9/11, people wanted a down to earth show where you can just laugh about yourselves and others. And that's what Avenue Q was. And for this was so fucking dark and sad. Like, oh my God, this is a tragedy. It's a tragedy what happens to this show. You feel so
if I wanted to watch a play, I would watch a play.
No, okay. Well, yeah. You know what it is? Because I also saw within the same time frame of seeing this, I saw A Band's Visit, and A Band's Visit is a play with music. Essentially, less a musical than just like, oh, they have songs, but it's really a play. But that ends with that moment of hope. And I think my Leland, who is my guest on my Mac and Mabel episode, he said that when it doesn't feel good when you leave a show and there's not that moment where the character has that moment of hope. Mac and Mabel doesn't end with a moment of hope. The character just goes, well, I tried to give you your happy ending and I can't. And this does not end with a moment of hope. It ends with a moment of, oh, the bad guys win, and that's still how this happens, and this character's dead now.
Yeah, and it's like with Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler for history.
Uh-huh.
He dies at the end of the musical, and it's yeah. And but it leaves you with a beautiful number about mm-hmm. you know, people who care about you are gonna
yeah.
help write your legacy, because at the end of the day, you know, there's yeah. a glimmer of hope for everybody.
I will say, I do love this show. I do still like it.
The music is great.
The music is beautiful. We're gonna play a little more of at the fountain right now at the end. My name is Patrick J. Riley. You can follow me on Twitter @NotPatRiley. Ask me some questions on Facebook on All Things Broadway.
And go listen to the other episodes I'm on this wonderful, wonderful podcast.
Thanks for listening to Broken Broadway. I've been your host, Patrick J. Riley. Please listen to my other podcast that I do with Joel Woodson called Christopher Durang's Actor's Nightmare, a theater podcast where we talk about just general theater stuff. We actually did a podcast recently about A Strange Loop that I recommend you listen to. And before we go out, here's one last song from the musical Sweet Smell of Success.
Hear the heat on the streets.